When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
That's deflected and picked off. Mosey, he'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
The New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
Jets!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast featuring draft season. We got a crossover episode this weekend. It's going to be draft season and TOJ pod. Three straight days of draft coverage here for you. James, Dylan, Joe, Meeks, myself, three straight days. So obviously coming off a pretty exciting, exciting day one of the draft, whether you like the nine trades, which was a record of a first round, AJ Brown getting moved, the Jets picking three times for the first time since 2000 in the first round, shades of Ellis Abraham, Anthony Becht, that bum, and Chad Pennington. So it was a fun day. I think we all had no idea what to expect. Initial reactions, James, we'll start with you. What'd you think of the first round, what the Jets did, and your initial takeaways?
I mean, I liked it overall. I think Sauce wasn't something I was expecting, but it's hard not to get pumped about having three borderline top 10 talents in the first round that you get for your rebuilding team. And so, like, I'm pretty hyped about it overall.
Meeks, we'll go to you next. I was sitting with you during the draft. You went through a whirlwind of emotion. How are we doing this morning?
It was certainly a roller coaster, taking Sauce, and then was just not something I really expected. And I, you know, it's asking a lot of a rookie corner to be, you know, the best cornerback on this team. But I really did like how they rounded out the draft. Like, the order wasn't exactly, I think, what everyone was expecting, but addressing corner, addressing edge, and addressing wide receiver in the first three picks, I think, was something we all expected them to do. And like James said, you can make a very strong argument. They got three of the 12-ish, 15-ish best players in the draft, and they'd have to give up 35 and 38 to do it, which was nice.
Yeah, it's funny. I talked all week about how they're spinning this. So if they take Jermaine Johnson in any spot, you're going to think he's a top eight player in the draft, because they kept being like, oh, we'll take him at four. You get him at 26, best value of all time. It's Tom Brady all over again. Joe, what'd you think of the draft? I know me and you were a little upset Drake London got taken at eight.
Oh, yeah, man. Definitely upset about Drake London. But Garrett Wilson is, listen, that's a great consolation prize, man. It was my wide receiver, too. I think he's a good fit in this offense. I think that, I mean, he is a little similar to Elijah Moore, except I think he brings a physicality to his game and a contested catch ability that kind of is missing, that kind of element is missing from Elijah Moore. So we got that with Garrett Wilson, and I love the vibes. As far as Sauce, I'm happy that at least one member of the draft season crew thought it was a possibility. Sorry, guys, I know they're going a little crazy in the background, but listen, when you encounter quarterbacks who are masters of the quick passing game and in those situations, man, you need sticky guys like Sauce. And this is something I specifically talked about on draft season, especially after the Falcons game. You saw Matt Ryan absolutely pick the Jets apart in that game. He was like 33 of 45, had like 7.6 yards per attempt. I came on the pod after that and I said, I'd have no issue with the Jets going corner in round one when you have guys like that. And more specifically, like Patrick Mahomes, who can quick pass game you to death. In those situations, like I said, you need corners who can get sticky, and that's Sauce Gardner in a nutshell, my friend. And I know people don't want to hear about this, but listen, I'm looking at the future, right? And the road to the Super Bowl, as far away as it may seem, is going to be paved by going through teams like Kansas City and quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, who can kill you with quick passes. You need them sticky corners, and listen, that's Sauce Gardner, man. And you guys all know I love Jermaine Johnson. He's a beast. I think it's safe to say now that he's better than Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm sorry, Biggs. All right? He can marry his hands and feet, which is something Thibs doesn't or can't do right now. And he's the perfect kind of solid edge, right? He can set the edge. and he could rush the passer. Quarterback assassin. Absolutely love that pick.
Yeah, it's funny. If you listen to a Jermaine Johnson quote right after he said, I tweeted out some clips or some quotes I had gotten texted from some coaches and scouts around the league about how he's a perfect scheme fit for this scheme. And he was very scheme specific. I think, you know, people talked about his age and maybe not being so twitchy is why he fell. He also was a guy that needed to go to a scheme that was a very linear, get up the field quickly, burst type of scheme. And he said that the Jets, in his visit to New York, the reason he thought he was going to be a Jet was, A, the vibes he got and all that stuff, which everyone says. But he said, I felt like I fit their scheme the best, and they told me the same. So, Dylan, thoughts on round one? Your boy Jahan Dotson going in the middle of the first round was one of the worst picks I saw all night, but no offense. But how about anything else other than that?
Jeez, Will, way to start the crossover episode.
I'm sorry. With shots 16? Of the 16? Dude, wow.
I will even say this, as I'll try to be unbiased here. 16 was a little rich for my blood, but I love Jahan, and I'm happy that he ended up with Carson Wentz. Alongside Terry McLaurin, and I think they're going to do really well with C.J. Stroud next year. So I think it's going to be a really good eventual pick. But for the Jets, I think in this whole draft, at least the 4th and 10th pick, I think the landscape of the league overtook the philosophy the New York Jets had. And I think that was not more apparent than with the Sauce pick. And I'm very happy about that. I think that Sauce is someone who can come in immediately and doesn't really have to be the number one quarter or right away Meigs. I think that having Reed and having that investment is going to help. And I think that they're going to work really well together because I think they have kind of complementary skill sets. And then I think you can have a Michael Carter and Bryce Hall kind of rotating in. And all of a sudden the cornerback room actually looks kind of strong for this team, which is something that I didn't think we'd be saying post the draft at all. And then receiver, I think we all kind of wanted London aside from Meigs, but Garrett Wilson is a damn good consolation prize, so I'm happy about that. And then Jermaine Johnson is a guy I had as my number three edge, so I couldn't be happier with how last night went. It wasn't necessarily, I think, how any of the four of us on draft season, I'm not sure about you, Will, envision the night going, but I think it was a damn good night to be a Jets fan, and I think we walked out as one of the winners of the draft, so I don't think you could ask for a better night. We got three new starters.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought they'd pick three times. I've been kind of adamant about that for a while. I thought it would be edge and either corner or offensive line at 4 and 10, and then they'd come back up for a receiver. Maybe a Jameson Williams would start slipping or Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks basically for A.J. Brown straight up. Another just purely awful move when you're competing for a Super Bowl. But overall, look, I got a bunch of comments. I was super negative about the Sauce pick. It wasn't that I was negative about the Sauce pick. In a vacuum, picking a corner at 4 when you're a team that had 4 wins last year and still are not 100% set at edge was a bit frustrating. And like, I don't know that Sauce is, I guess he is a good scheme fit because they played a lot of man on third down, but like, I thought Stingley would have been great. And that's the only corner I would have taken in the top 5. That said, they took a corner, but then they went back and got their edge. So it made it like, it kind of came full circle. That's why it's hard to do a spit take reaction when like, we didn't know if they were going to pick a third time. And the fact that they did, it should show you how much they wanted Jermaine Johnson. And at the end of the day, you could argue it's Jermaine edge. I think most of us had him edge 3 or edge 4. I had him edge 3 as well. Yeah. Could they have waited till 35 and gotten Ebiketie or somebody? Sure. But the Jets obviously wanted Jermaine Johnson. They tried to trade up. It's come out 11 straight picks to get him. Like, this is no joke. They considered him a 10. And then you get a playmaker for Zach. I mean, Mike G already tweeted out before I was talking about it. If you had Zach walking around that building buzzing today, like, I want to start throwing with Garrett Wilson. Can we get on the field? Like, that's the type of stuff where you've now helped Zach on both sides of the ball. You can create more turnovers. They got playmakers. Like, it's just hard to hate on that kind of first round. Yeah, of course. And in a vacuum, would have been nice to get KT or Hutch and Drake London and Stingley all in one draft. Sure. But like, this is not the bad consolation prize. I'm not sure you could ask for, you know, could have better first round. Is there any picks, I guess, just from a general draft perspective, are there any picks that you guys thought, I know we kind of joked about Jahan Dotson and things like that, do you think any team did really well for themselves outside of the Jets, or any team that you raise your eyebrow and go, what were you doing? I guess Meeks, we'll start with you first. We'll go in a different order.
We have to stay in our own division where the Patriots took Spencer Long 2.0 in the first round. I mean, Cole Strange is a nice player, but geez, in the first round, I didn't get it. Obviously, like, the Ravens getting Hamilton and Linderbaum, and basically for trading away Hollywood, like, the Ravens just keep on ravening. Like, that's what you really expect from them. And yeah, I feel like they win every draft, but also I got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit getting Karlaftis and McDuffie for what they needed for that defense, because they kind of already rebuilt their wide receiver core with MVS and Juju, and they already have Kelsey. So yeah, I think the AFC, the teams that are good in the AFC also got a little bit better, and the Bills didn't get Breece Hall, which I know Joe is very happy about.
Yeah, it's the Chiefs are interesting because they have so many picks that not only do they stayed put. I actually kind of felt like the Jets is a similar thing where they stayed put in the beginning and they got players at good value, and the Chiefs got players. I don't love Karlaftis, but at 30, like that's, I think objectively it's a pretty nice pick. And now they have a bunch of picks they wanted to trade up for. I don't know whose boy it is, George Pickens or Watson or one of these guys. They could easily do that today. Joe, how about you? Is any, you know, team that stood out positively or negatively that that kind of caught your eye?
I hate to say this, but the Giants getting Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. I mean, those guys could have realistically went with pick 1 and 2 and nobody would have batted an eye. And I don't like to compliment this, like, you know, cross city rival or in-house rival really, but I think they did really well. And I guess I could question, even though I love Chris Olave, you know, the Saints kind of moving up to get him and then drafting Penning, somebody who I thought was a bit overrated and kind of a little bit of a reach in that spot, even though I think he could turn out to be a good player. I feel like he's got a long way to go. But yeah, other than that, you know, I love the Jets, man, right? Jermaine Johnson, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, all in the same draft. Who would have thought that? I would have told you were crazy, you know, if you told me that before the draft. So I think that was my favorite pick. I'm not being a Jets homer. It's just kind of how I feel.
Dylan, how about you?
I think the rich got richer. I think you hit the nail on the head with that, Meigs. I think the Ravens and Chiefs got better, and that's a little scary in hindsight. I think the Titans and Packers didn't do great. I think the Packers did well on defense and shored up holes that if they had any left, they did, but you don't get a receiver again. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has got to be pissed off right now. But if they have confidence in their corpse, I was just talking to one of my Packers friends before we hopped on. If they have confidence in the weaponry you have, good for them. But I got to agree with you, Joe. I think aside from us hitting the nail on the head, I think the Giants did great last night. I think getting Thibodeau, getting Neal, and then having an early pick again today to get another pick. I mean, maybe I will kind of get into previewing how we see our night falling, but maybe to get into Kobe Dean, and then damn, I mean, that's a good draft for the New York Giants. So I think both New York teams hit the nail on the head last night, and I don't think New York as a whole could be any happier.
So to your point, Joe, the Saints traded 18, 80, 98, 101, 120, 237, a 2023 first, a 2023 sixth, a 2024 second, and forfeited a 2022 sixth for Olave, Penning, and Bradley Roby. Woof. It's a lot of picks, man.
That's disgusting. I mean,
I think a lot. I mean, they're upset, but then fairness, like the Saints only draft sick Ohio State players. So like, I'm sure Olave is going to make 5 Pro Bowls because they drafted him, but it's just basically, I don't know. That's a lot. James, how about you?
Yeah, I think the Eagles are the other team that did really well last night. I mean, getting one of the best young receivers in the NFL and Jordan Davis, who is a unicorn, is an incredible draft. The one thing I was just scrolling through Twitter and like kind of just circling back to the Sauce thing. I think like, you know, I saw a tweet saying they play a zone scheme and just gave a big contract to a CB and got serviceable play from Hall and Echols. Dumb. And like the one thing I think is worth just clearing up is that when you play zone in the NFL, you're not dropping to grass and covering grass. NFL teams play pattern matching zone coverage, and you need to be able to stick with receivers. Especially when you're playing like, you know, zone match press, like cover 3. And so like the idea that you don't need good corners in any scheme is ridiculous. And like, personally, I'm chill with it. Cause like, I believe in building like from the secondary, like down. So, I mean, I would just add that as a point.
Can I just step in, Will? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Yeah. I feel like we can finally kind of dispel the nonsense that this defense doesn't care about having great corners. You saw people in the system, guys like Gus Bradley. They were there when they drafted Jalen Ramsey. Dan Quinn drafted AJ Terrell. Saleh played with the Hall of Famer Richard Sherman. You know, this shouldn't be like a surprise to people that he went in this direction. You know, this is, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, they're looking for these kind of players. Shutdown corners are probably the hardest position to find in the NFL after quarterback. They don't grow on trees. So if you can identify one, I think taking one in that spot, I think is a smart move for sure.
Yeah. No, the thing with the corner thing that was tough is I felt like it was almost more a Joe Douglas thing to go trenches than it even was Saleh. I think Saleh wanted the edge rusher, and I think we all assumed once they were out on KT, Jermaine at 4 would have, I don't think would have been good value. We can discuss that another time. And obviously we saw it wouldn't have been good value, but yeah, the Sauce pick makes sense. I think from teams that got better on paper, I still like, probably is going to be a controversial take because I still don't like the Walker Pickett at one, but Devin coming back up and still having a bunch of picks tomorrow or tonight is for Jacksonville to plug and play Devin Lloyd into that defense. Devin Lloyd is good value at 27 or whatever it was. Dax Hill 31, when you have a contract dispute with Jesse Bates, is a really nice pick. There's some picks in there that you kind of go, okay, the Chargers, like we talk about this with Zach. I know you guys have talked about this ad nauseum. Zion Johnson, and in addition to how many additions they've made with Slater and all these guys that offensive line, I know it's probably rich at 17 to draft a guard, but the Jets did that last year. And if you want to, you know, protect your franchise quarterback, you know, you have your guy. They've paid receivers. They've got all these different weapons. They paid JC Jackson. Now you keep adding this offensive line. You build a pipeline there. You know, when Lindsley eventually, obviously, you know, kind of declines. Teams that I was confused by. Oh, Detroit, I thought had a great night. And they could go back up today and get Malik Willis and end up with Malik Willis, Jameson Williams, and Hutch in their first three picks. And you'd feel that's something I don't think people would have thought could have happened. They gave up nothing. Again, Washington was a bit confusing. I thought the Saints were – it's fine. Like, those players are fine, and they fit what they need. But it's, again, a lot to give up. Trying to think if there's anybody else that kind of struck me as – again, yeah, Philly gets A.J. Brown for, a cheaper price technically than Tyreek and these other guys. They got him on a good contract. Atlanta getting Drake London and basically saying, we're just going to bully people and we're going to kind of suck this year. And we know it is good. And then look, the other team that Sam Darnold's not good, but getting Ike Ekwonu for the Panthers in a massive hole and getting him at six when I think he was the best player on most of your guys' boards or one of the top two player, like it's good value there. Before we get to kind of previewing tonight, the Jets obviously only made three picks so far. And if you encapsulate what they've done so far in the offseason and mix it with the first three, you know, their first three picks, how much better on paper is this team? Maybe is they a win better? Are they half win better? Are they four wins better? Like, how much better do you think they've gotten so far in an incomplete picture of kind of where they're at right now, just adding Jermaine Wilson and Sauce in addition to the free agency moves?
I think they're much better. I feel like the defense in particular is just a safety and a linebacker away from being a top 10 unit. I'm serious about that. I hope they address it now on day two. Jalen Petrie's still there. We got Chad Muma. We got N'Kobe Dean. It's a big, I know Meigs and James are just salivating over that selection. And as far as the offense goes, I think they need to add to that running back room. I'm hoping they bring in a compliment for Michael Carter, maybe some OL depth, somebody they could potentially take over from a governor eventually. Somebody like Dylan Parham is still on the board over there, maybe in round three. And other than that, you know, maybe potentially finding more of a replacement for Foley, more of that kind of run stuffing interior defensive lineman. I'm hoping they could kind of go day three with that. But if they took Travis Jones from Connecticut here in the second round, it would not shock me at all either. Big fan of him. I know Meigs is as well. But overall, I think they got better. I mean, I think that's what we should all be happy about. We've all had our preferences of who we wanted to pick. But at the end of the day, come Monday morning, the Jets are definitely going to be a better football team. Love all these selections. They attacked edge, wide receiver. I mean, and everything that we all kind of wanted all in the first round, all in a nutshell, it was a really great day one. And day two and three are going to be that much better.
Yeah, you don't think it's nice not having the Trey McBride at 35 ridiculousness of kind of overvaluing the tight end spot. They were able to fill tight end and guard and in free agency and be able to actually, as much as you guys know better than anybody, actually use value in round one of getting the premier positions that you want a fifth-year option on. You want to be able to pay these guys down the line. James, I'll go to you. If you know, obviously it's not like war because we can't meet all these players, you know, NFL war is the most annoying statistic in sports. No offense, Eric Eager and PFF, but, you know, how much better do you think the Jets are on paper right now? Are they, you know, are they a 7-win team right now? If Zach's even average?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to assess because Zach Wilson is the one who contributes like 90% of the outcome of this equation, even though he's just one player. I feel really good about what they did because they added all of these players over the offseason who are actual NFL players and belong. Like Jordan Whitehead, NFL player. CJ Uzama, NFL player. Same thing with Laken Tomlinson. And then you bring these three guys in the first round who could all be foundational players for you. Like you're really what you're doing is raising the floor of the people who are playing on a down-to-down basis. And that can't be understated. So like overall – I would say it's like probably 2.5 to 3 wins better if I had to quantify it.
Dylan, how about you?
I'd have to agree with James. I think that's really the best part of this draft, and hopefully the rest of this draft, is that you are raising who is the worst player on your team and who's the worst player of your starters. And that's a good thing, because if you don't have to have a team that's front-loaded with stars. You can have a team with depth, and that's something the New York Jets haven't had. We've been playing undrafted free agents in October pretty much as long as I can remember. So I think it'll be nice to have some guys that are actually, you know, talented, playing on the roster. Hate to discredit guys like kind of who like deaf guys who've been getting reps, but I think it'll be nice to see guys like that. So I mean, for me, I think they're 2.5 to 3 wins better. I'd agree, and that's not a bad thing. I know there's Jets fans that are gonna be like, oh, you don't see us being a playoff team. No, it's not a bad thing that we're 2.5 to 3 wins better. That's a damn good thing, because that's rare.
Yeah, that means the floor, if you're saying, if people want the floor to be 7 wins and you want Zach to take a leap, and me, so I'll get to you right now, but that, like, if you're a 6 or 7 win team on paper and you overachieve, you don't have to be the Bengals of last year and go to the Super Bowl, but that's what the Bengals did. They were a 6 or 7 win team on paper. Their quarterback took a huge leap. They got an impact guy as a rookie that played way better than anyone could have, you know, imagined as a rookie. And then you start to make some noise. Meigs, how much better on paper are the Jets, you know, at 9:56 in the morning on April 29th?
I think they have, on paper, the third most talented roster in their division. I think on paper they have more talent than the Patriots. Bill Belichick's a better coach than Robert Saleh. I don't think anyone in this podcast will disagree with that. And obviously, like, could coaching matters, and could that, you know, shorten the talent gap? Sure. But, like, this team shouldn't be going into New England and getting punked like they did last year. Like, tell me who the best player on the Patriots is. I think that the Jets have better players than them. I really don't think that roster is that talented. And, you know, Mac is better than Zach right now. But if Zach takes an average leap just with how his arm talent is and the better athlete he is, I really think that they could be fighting with the Dolphins for 8 wins.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page here. I think this, obviously, it's a hard question to ask, you know, one day into the draft, but, you know, these are the guys you expect to walk in day one and contribute, you know, right away, especially, you know, I think I saw a tweet got put out basically of the receiver production around one nowadays is like the average round one receiver is coming in and giving you 65 and 800. And that's the average. That's like 4 or 5 guys a year. That's their average. So, you know, you expect to make things out of Garrett Wilson. We'll preview today with day two of the draft. We'll stick just to day two. The Jets pick, the only 2 picks they have today as of right now are 38 and 101, beginning of round 2, end of round 3.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
I guess we could go, who do you think they take if they stay there? And then, I guess, or some names that you'd like to see them draft. And then, you know, do you think they actually make those 2 picks, or they move around the board? Meigs, I'll go to you first.
So I'm very much team N'Kobe Dean at 38. And if he's not there, see if you can move out of the pick, see if you can get another 4th rounder, or maybe you can get a later 3rd rounder, depending on how far you really want to go back, because I do think I could see them trying to do that, because I know, I think defense should be the pick at 38 if it's made. And then as for 101, like, can you find like your like bargain bin safety that, you know, isn't going to be a day one starter, but maybe by the end of the season can take over for LaMarcus Joyner, whether that's going to be like a Nick Cross, whether that could be a Brian Cook, just, you know, just looking for average starter there. And then, you know, day three, we'll see what they tackle, whether it's running back or tight end. But I think defense should be the focus of today.
Joe, how about you?
I think a sneaky pick there might be Bernard Raimann, just because of all the uncertainty still at offensive tackle. I mean, that wouldn't shock me. I think they liked him. He was at the Senior Bowl. They saw him play. So if they fell in love with him, I could see that. I think that's a sneaky pick. Another player that I'm sure nobody wants to hear about right now, and I'm probably in the extreme minority, is Breece Hall. This offense is predicated on running the ball. This guy could be a potentially top five running back in the league. I think there are some guys later in the draft that I like Pierre Strong. But what he could bring to this offense, considering you have Zach developing, I think is, you can't even measure. I mean, I think it would just exponentially help his growth. I really like Logan Hall. I feel like he's kind of the prototypical strong side edge. I don't know if they're going to double dip at edge, but I feel like JFM probably is better on the inside. And if they kind of took a swing on him and kind of was like, we have JFM, he's at this contract. Maybe we don't love the numbers right now. They could probably save about $12 million next year if they released him. I don't think they will. I'm just saying they're probably thinking numbers wise in the future. You know, Joe Douglas is a guy who's like, well, I'm not thinking just about today. I'm also thinking about what's going on long-term. And like I said, he would be a perfect fit for this defense. And again, linebacker, like you guys are saying, Chad Muma, hopefully he falls to round three, but I think he is a round two talent. And just like Meek said, N'Kobe Dean would be a steal in that spot. And if they decided to attack safety later, I think Nick Cross from Maryland is a guy who would fit really well in this defense as a single high safety. I think he's got a lot to learn, but Meek's called him the LeRon Landry of the draft. And listen, maybe he's got some of those vibes, and that would be pretty sick if they were to come out with, say, like a Dean, round two, round three, Nick Cross combo. I could be definitely down with that.
Dylan, how about you?
I think a couple of things I'm watching for is definitely the trade down. Obviously, it seems like the second round is prime time Joe Douglas trade down kind of area, especially when you end up giving up that 35th pick and the 69th pick. So I'd look for a trade down. I think you kind of hit it, Joe. I don't know if they're done on the D-line. I think maybe not today, but in the fourth round maybe. But I know they liked Perrion Winfrey. That was somebody that I've mentioned on the pod just to kind of watch for, just because they gave him that Senior Bowl MVP. That's kind of a sneaky, maybe watch there. And maybe one of those early day three linebackers. So I don't know if they go N'Kobe Dean, but I think there is such an opportunity today with just staying at 38-101 to completely hit this draft out of the park and not even have to worry about Saturday if they go and address linebacker and safety or running back and safety. Or if you get the best players available today, I think that's a success. And I think they can very well do that, especially at 38. I think they can get a first round talent at 38 today, and that is damn good.
James, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's N'Kobe Dean is in a tier of his own. I was just looking at the teams ahead of us. I think the Giants would be the one who would take N'Kobe Dean if any of those teams that are ahead of us, which there are five of, were to take him. I mean, I just think it's such a no-brainer. I think if you get him, you have four borderline top 10 players in this class. I personally believe that, because this guy has rare movement skills. Everybody's saying he's slightly undersized, but you don't see that being a problem where he's one of the studs on that top, one of the best defenses I've ever seen. The processing is insane. I tweeted out a quote this morning where they were talking about how he was the fastest person to ever learn the Georgia playbook. And that's one of the most complex playbooks, way more complicated than the New York Jets. And when you think about what that means that at one of the best football programs that exists, he was the smartest player that they've seen. And so he's the unicorn. He's going to be the exception. And I would even trade up for him, but I don't think you need to. I think there's a 65 to 70% chance he's there at 38. And I think you have to run the garden.
Yeah, no, it's interesting with the thing with Dean. I think the thing to watch honestly is, look, none of these quarterbacks went yesterday. I would be shocked if Ritter, Willis and Corral don't come off the board, probably in the top five picks here, where Atlanta might come up and go, we'll take one of Willis, Ritter. Carolina can go, we'll package a pick next year and, whatever, and try to come up and basically create a, they can still get Craw and be able to get Aquanu and Willis theoretically is a home run for Carolina. There's a bunch of teams in that window where even the Giants, if you're the Giants and you just didn't pick up Daniel Jones, fifth year option, you already got your trench players. It's kind of hard for them to sit there and go, why don't we take a shot on, one of these quarterbacks? You could have taken one at five theoretically. And I think people would have said, okay, I get it. From a Jets perspective, I get the Dean thing. I literally comped him to Jonathan Vilma. So if we're going to get Jonathan Vilma, Calvin Pace, and Antonio Cromartie in one draft, like I'm all about the vibes there. That's good times. Mooma makes a lot of sense. I don't think Troy Andersen and Christian Harris are going to go quite as high. I think those are guys you could probably, if you wanted to move around in round three or end of round two, you could do that. I don't think Breece Hall, I don't think running back is as big of a need that you should go at 38. But like if the Jets said, like, F it, we're just going to give Zach every opportunity to have every weapon imaginable. We're going to take Breece Hall, and now we're going to give him in the course of 12 months, Michael Carter, Breece Hall, Elijah, Corey Davis, Brax, Garrett Wilson, Uzama, and Conklin. Like, it's kind of hard to sit there and go, yeah, it's a stupid pick, because it's not like you didn't waste first round capital. Again, I don't think it's not what I would do, but I could convince myself it's a good idea. Ryman's not a bad idea. Like, look, we don't have to get into the whole Becton thing. I think people took it as a vote of confidence for Becton. The two quotes that told me it wasn't a vote of confidence was, one, Joe Douglas just said, that's just how the board broke. That's why we took Sauce over Icky. Like, that wasn't like, we love Mekhi. We're all in on Mekhi. Like, I hope he's fine. I just think the maturity is the biggest issue with him, more so than anything. And telling Rich to, like, hang on his nuts and all this stuff, like, yeah, it's funny, but, like, dude, like, just stay off Twitter. Like, I know for a fact the players on that team get super frustrated with him and how much he tweets, and, like, the Jets don't like it. You think they put up with it with Jamal, who is actually really good as a Jet? Like, they don't really want to hear him doing that stuff. And yes, it's funny, but, like, show some maturity. Like, be happy. Like, it's not all about, like, dude, you might lose your spot in camp. So, like, just, like, you know, I'd like to see them add an offensive line at some point here, or, you know, maybe sign their Morgan Moses quote unquote type down the line. Safety's an issue. Still interesting. Brandon Echols changing his Twitter bio to cornerback/nickel cornerback. So I'm interested to see, maybe they kind of rotate him in the slot there as a smaller guy. It could be a good move with the long arms. Like that you guys mentioned, I think Dylan said it, like, their cornerback room is pretty damn good. Even on, just on paper, even if Sauce is only, like, good, not great. I don't see them trading up. I see them probably moving back from 38 to, like, 45 and picking up an extra three or an extra four. And then I just don't think they're making the rest of these six picks or five picks. Like, their roster is 97 million people on it already. They have, like, every single bargain burner, like, backup safety in the league on the roster at the moment. So, like, I don't even know if they have room for half these guys. Final prediction, putting you on the spot, 38 and 101. They pick there. Quit rapid fire. Who are they taking?
Hey, can I ask you guys a question before we go to the rapid fire? Okay, so let's say you have the opportunity to flip pick 38, maybe some day three pick this year, and maybe a day three pick next year for Jesse Bates, and you extend him. Is that something you do, or would you want to hang tight and maybe take like a Jaquan Brisker or Jalen Pitre instead?
I would pay Jesse Bates all of the money. All of the dollars that exist in Woody Johnson's white jeans bank account, I would pay him right now. And I would have given up 35 for him, not just 38.
Yeah, Jesse Bates rocks. I'd 100% do that.
I would as well. I think that'd be a fantastic move.
I feel like the Bengals are not letting that guy go, so I don't even want to think about that right now, to be honest with you.
If you told me the Jets secondary on opening day when they beat the Detroit Lions is – Jesse Bates, Jordan Whitehead, Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, and one of Breece Hall or Michael Carter, like, I would have told you you're a certified lunatic like 12 months ago. So even still, if they get, you know, Jaquan Brisker, Petrie, any of these guys, I think that's a total revamp. I'll start off, I guess. The Jets go Dean, and at 38, and at 101, they go Isaiah Spiller.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
All right, Joe, you go next.
Dean and Spiller, man, I just want to piggyback on that one right there. Let's go Petrie, and maybe Chad Mooma falls to round three, and, you know, and I'm absolutely going insane in my house, you know, seeing
five,
that.
Five eggplants.
For sure. That's a five eggplant draft for sure.
Meeks.
It's tough because I really do think the Giants are going to snipe Nakobe, but I'm not letting the vibes end. And so I'm going to say Dean and Nick Cross.
Dylan?
A little more reserved with my pick. I'll go Chad Mooma at 38. I think they go a little high for him just to make sure they get him. And then 101, Kirby Joseph. Get that safety there.
James, how about you?
I'm going to go Nakobe Dean at 38 and Danny Gray, wide receiver from SMU, at 101.
There we go. Is there any, I guess we'll do one more rapid fire since, you know, we have a couple minutes. One player you think gets overdrafted today and one player you think gets underdrafted that falls that, you know, is it, or, I mean, it could be a guy that's already been falling and ends up falling in the middle of round two or something like that. I'll go guy that falls. I'll go Petrie falls to like 50, 55 range just because I think I like him a lot, but I think teams will go, oh, like, he's kind of good at a lot of different things. Like, what's his like one elite trait? Even though I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just saying I could see teams buying into that. I say guy that'll get overdrafted. Some team's going to take Kenneth Walker in the top 45, and I'm going to say he's my running back three. It's hard for me to say. Like Breece is a clear one for me, so taking Kenneth Walker in the top 45 would be an overdraft. How about James, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I could see – Perrion Winfrey being a big faller, even though he did well at the Senior Bowl. I could see, I mean, I could see like Chad Muma going off the board like really, really soon. Even maybe faster than Kobe Dean. Like, who knows? That's what I would say.
Meigs?
I think Christian Watson's going to fall to the third round because that's where he should have really went all along. And I think, I mean, so the quarterbacks are going to get overdrafted because none of them are actually good. And who's going to get over? Who's going to take someone stupid? God, I don't even know.
Patriots?
Probably.
Yeah, the Patriots
gonna take some, 51. Actually, yeah. Actually, I think Winfrey, I disagree with you. I think Winfrey's going to go in the top 40. That's a terrible pick.
Dylan, how about you?
I think Sky Moore and some of these receivers, because I think we saw definitely yesterday the drop off is a lot greater than some people even thought because we're not seeing a run on receivers. So I think today you see a little bit of that run. I think guys like Sky Moore are going to get overdrafted. Some of these receivers who should be going in the third end up going early in the second today. And then a guy who I think is going to fall is actually going to be Mafe. I think him and some of these edges, because of that early run on edges, end up falling victim of that inadvertently. So I think like him, I think Ojabo because of the injury, but I think those two are two guys who could have easily been first rounders and the two of them fall a little bit today.
Joe, how about you?
I think Cam Jurgens is going to be slightly overdrafted. I am a big fan of his, but I think he's going in round two, and I don't necessarily see him as a day one starter. I think he's still a bit of a developmental guy. And as far as like somebody who's going to be, you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe this just go on a tangent here. I feel like the Giants might pick up Trey McBride. Maybe he's going to get a little overdrafted as well. Maybe it'll be their Dawson Knox. I could see that for sure. And that's about it. What was the other question? Overdrafted and who else?
Yeah, just overdrafted and underdrafted. They were smart. They draft Ruckert, and then it's actually Dawson Knox. I saw a tweet from Schefter earlier from the Travis Jones perspective. The Bucks are on the clock, obviously, to start. And he's highlighted three separate times that I mocked Travis Jones to the Bucks at 27 initially and that they haven't re-signed Sue yet. That would be a good pick for them. It's classic, you know, Todd Bowles stashing sick interior defensive linemen and safeties and just running in basically a defensive line of fat people and a bunch of agile safeties. You know, I think, you know, we're going to be doing this. We have this pod and we'll have tomorrow recapping day two. And then we'll have one on Monday kind of basically recapping the whole draft. We'll do a stupid grading system of how we thought the draft went kind of similar to today and kind of look forward a little bit to, you know, what the guys in the draft, what you guys will have cooking. You know, kind of finishing out the draft season. I'll preview a little bit of what we got, you know, going on with the TOJ pod. Good news is the Jets got better yesterday, and they have a chance. We get to see Darrell Revis walk out and announce a pick, hopefully at 38 today, which is going to be awesome. He should not wear 24. That number is clearly shadow retired. So, like, let's not put that in this. Like, Sauce already said he wants to be like Revis. I'm a little worried about that just because.
Yeah, single digits.
Can you not create this? Like, you don't have to always create the expectation you're going to be the best person to ever play the position. Like Andrew Wiggins, I'm going to be the next LeBron. Well, guess what, buddy? You're just a good player. That's it, and that's okay. Any last thoughts, fellas, before we log off?
Give me Sauce number one.
Sauce and one will be sick. Give Zach back one so he's good.
Yeah, exactly. Is Zach would won rookie of the year if he picked one instead of two. I'm fully convinced.
Okay, last thought would be, I was scrolling through like a top 100 board. What do we think about like the sneaky fit of DeMarvin Leal?
No. I'm so out on Leal. I'm done with tweeners.
Bro, he's serious, so athletic. We already have Solomon Thomas, dude.
Yeah, dude, I'm done with the tweeners.
Bro, oh.
Logan Hall and Travis Jones are so much better than him.
Is Will Compton on drugs?
Probably, I'm not sure. Right?
He said we traded AJ Brown to the Jets.
I wish. But, Will, but
like,
Compton,
dude, he tweeted this morning. Like, what? Where did you? Like, where did you even see that? No one said that. He literally said he doesn't want to be a Jet, like in a tweet. Do you guys buy that Debo? We said no to Debo, or you think the Niners said no to us?
I think Joe Douglas said no.
I do too.
I kind of do too.
Oh, the last point I meant to say, you brought this up with Dean, and Meigs pointed this out last night. One of you guys might have pointed this out in the pod. I think the Jets fell in love with how smart Garrett Wilson is, and like that he can play all three spots from day one.
It's Mims PTSD.
Mims could not. I think they've struggled with some of these other guys. I think that's why Berrios is so reliable to them. Elijah picked up spots right away. Corey's a smart football player. The fact that you can go be versatile from day one, Garrett Wilson's, knock on wood, can, you know, be good to go in mini camp and be able to participate. I think that's the one thing we talked about with Jameson Williams, why he wouldn't be a fit. And if you get a smart football player for LaFleur, like, this offense is really complicated. Aaron Rodgers said he struggles with it still, and he's in year 37 of his career, and he's like one of the smartest football players ever. So that was just the one thing I meant to bring up before. If when you were talking about smart football players, Jermaine's a smart guy on the football field, in school not so much. And 1.7 GPA is not great. But yeah, Wilson and you know, obviously Sauce. No smoking, no drinking. We'll see if that stays in New York, but it's a whole nother discussion. We will be back tomorrow morning, recapping day two, breaking down a little bit what happens with the Jets. Again, they picked 38-101 as of now. Hope you guys enjoyed the draft season TOJ pod crossover. You get a couple more of these, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.